The Ministry of Health and Healing, Chapter 28, Ministry of the Home. Restoring and uplifting humanity begins in the home. The work of parents underlies every other. Society is composed of families and is what the head of families make it. Out of the heart spring the issues of life, Proverbs 4, verse 23. The heart of the community, of the church, and of the nation is the household. The well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depend upon home influences. The importance and the opportunities of home life are illustrated in the life of Jesus. He who came from heaven to be our example and teacher spent 30 years as a member of the household at Nazareth. Concerning these years, the Bible record is very brief. No mighty miracles attracted the attention of the multitude. No eager throngs followed Jesus' steps or listened to his words. Yet during all those years he was fulfilling his divine mission. He lived as one of us, sharing the home life, submitting to its discipline, performing its duties, bearing its burdens. In the sheltering care of a humble home, participating in the experiences of our common lot, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. During all these secluded years, his life flowed out in currents of sympathy and helpfulness. His unselfishness and patient endurance, his courage and faithfulness, his resistance of temptation, his unfailing peace and quiet joyfulness were a constant inspiration. He brought a pure, sweet atmosphere into the home, and his life was as leaven working amidst the elements of society. No one said that he had performed a miracle, yet virtue, the healing, life-giving power of love, went out from him to the tempted, the sick, and the disheartened. In an unobtrusive way, even from childhood, Jesus ministered to others, and because of this, when he began his public ministry, many heard him gladly. The Savior's early years are not only an example to youth, they are a lesson and should be an encouragement to every parent. The circle of family and neighborhood duties is the very first field of effort for those who would work to improve society. There is no more important field of effort than that committed to the founders and guardians of the home. No work entrusted to human beings involves greater or more far-reaching results than does the work of fathers and mothers. By the youth and children of today, the future of society is determined, and what these youth and children shall be depends upon the home. To the lack of right home training may be traced the larger share of the disease, misery, and crime that curse humanity. If the home life were pure and true, if the children who went forth from its care were prepared to meet life's responsibilities and dangers, what a change would be seen in the world. Great efforts are put forth, time and money and labor almost without limit are expended, in enterprises and institutions for reforming the victims of evil habits. And even these efforts are inadequate to meet the great necessity. Small is the result, and few victims are permanently reclaimed. Multitudes long for a better life, but they lack courage and resolution to break away from the power of habit. They shrink from the struggle and sacrifice demanded, and their lives are wrecked and ruined. Thus, even people with the brightest minds, people of high aspirations and noble powers, who otherwise are fitted by nature and education to fill positions of trust and responsibility, are degraded and lost for this life and for the life to come. Of those who do reform, many reap the harvest of their evil sowing all their life in a shattered physical constitution, a wavering will, impaired intellect, and weakened soul power. How much more might be accomplished if the evil were dealt with at the beginning? The responsibility of parents. This work rests in a great degree on parents. Intemperance and other evils are eating like a cancer on the social body. But if more attention were given to teaching parents how to form the habits and character of their children, 100-fold more good would result. It is in their power to make habit, which is so terrible a force for evil, into a force for good. Dealing with the stream at its source, it rests with them to direct it rightly. Parents may lay for their children the foundation for a healthy, happy life. They may send them forth from their homes with moral stamina to resist temptation and courage and strength to wrestle successfully with life's problems. They may inspire in them the purpose and develop the power to make their lives an honor to God and a blessing to the world. they may make straight paths for their feet through sunshine and shadow to the glorious heights above. The mission of the home extends beyond its own members. The Christian home is to be an object lesson, illustrating the excellence of the true principles of life. Such an illustration will be a power for good in the world. Far more powerful than any sermon that can be preached is the influence of a true home upon human hearts and lives. As the youth go out from such a home, the lessons they have learned are shared with others. Nobler principles of life are introduced into other households, and an uplifting influence works in the community. We might make our homes a blessing to many others. Our social entertainments would not be governed by the dictates of worldly custom, but by the Spirit of Christ and the teaching of His Word. The Israelites in all their festivities included not only the poor and the stranger, but the Levite who was both the assistant of the priest in the sanctuary and a religious teacher and missionary. These were regarded as the guests of the people, to share their hospitality on all occasions of social and religious rejoicing, and to be tenderly cared for when sick or in need. Persons such as these we should make welcome to our homes. How much such a welcome might do to cheer and encourage the missionary nurse, or the teacher, the care-burdened, hard-working mother, or the feeble and aged, struggling with poverty and many discouragements. When you give a dinner or a supper, Christ says, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back, and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. These are guests who will be no great burden to receive. You will not need to provide elaborate or expensive entertainment. You will not need to make an effort at display. To many of these people, the warmth of a genial welcome, a place at your fireside, a seat at your home table, the privilege of sharing the blessing of the hour of prayer, would be like a glimpse of heaven. Homes to be a blessing. Our sympathies are to overflow the boundaries of self and the enclosure of family walls. There are precious opportunities for those who will make their homes a blessing to others. Social influence is a wonderful power. We can use it as a means of helping those about us. Our homes should be a place of refuge for tempted young people. Many are standing at the parting of the ways. Every influence, every impression is determining the choice that shapes their present and eternal destiny. Evil invites them. Its resorts are bright and attractive. They welcome every comer. All about us are youth who have no home, and many whose homes have no helpful, uplifting power. Drifting into evil, these youths are going down to ruin within the very shadow of our own doors. Stretch out a hand to them in sympathy. Kind words, simply spoken, little attentions, simply bestowed, will sweep away the clouds of temptation that gather over the soul. The true expression of heaven-born sympathy has power to open the door of hearts that need the fragrance of Christ-like words and the simple, delicate touch of the Spirit of Christ's love. If we would show an interest in the young people, invite them to our homes, and surround them with cheering, helpful influences, many would gladly turn their steps into the upward path. Our time here is short. We pass through this world but once. Let us make the most of life. The work to which we are called does not require wealth or social position or great ability. It requires a kindly, self-sacrificing spirit and a steadfast purpose. A lamp, however small, if kept burning steadily, may be the means of lighting many other lamps. Our sphere of influence may seem narrow, our ability small, our opportunities few, our acquirements limited. Yet wonderful possibilities are ours through a faithful use of the opportunities of our own homes. If we will open our hearts and homes to the divine principles of life, we shall become channels for currents of life-giving power. From our homes will flow streams of healing, bringing life and beauty and fruitfulness where now are barrenness and dearth.